You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to Reality TV Rehap Ups for Episode 3 of Season 8 of The Amazing Race Canada. My name is Jessica Leese. I'm just another sad American with a lot of jealousy for all of you up north who get this amazing TV show in your ears every week. And never have I been more jealous of another country's Amazing Race than this week. Because this rivaled Jeff Probst and his ball jokes as far as things that you could take out of context in a lot of really weird and interesting ways. So with me to help break down every single inappropriate thing that was said on this leg of the race is Mr. Dan Heaton.
Yes, well, Jess, I mean, just to start it off, who knew that wieners could be so stressful? Who knew this, Jess?
You know, there are so many different types of wieners. It was really a cornucopia of wieners.
One and a quarter, apparently. Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Now, what is a one and a quarter wiener?
I don't know. Neither does Catherine. So I think we're all on the same page here. We don't know.
Yeah. Is this some kind of Klingon scenario? I don't know. But we go from wieners, of course, to then we go to the tied up half of the roadblock. And we get to hear about the Bone Wiggler, the Atomic Worm, the Mile High Special, the Circus Peanut, the Double Silly Humpy, and of course, my favorite, the Hotspot 20 incher.
Yeah, the Double Silly Humpy is the one where I meant to look up. Is that a real thing? I'm sure it is, but yeah, the 20 incher.
That's where you draw the line.
The 20 incher, everybody went, ooh.
That's where you draw the line, Dan.
Have I told you, Jess, about the summer that I fell in love with fly fishing? I'll never forget it. I wrote a book about it. I don't know.
An entire book. He's holding
I read to people who walk down in front of my shop.
Yep, and it's a hardbound encyclopedia volume.
Where most of the pages are blank. It's just two pages put inside that I will read to you over and over. Love that guy, though. Oh, he's on it. I like that. People are into the weirdness.
Yeah, I did get the feeling that he was kind of over it after about the 12th time he read it.
Well, yeah, when people kept coming, like listening to like five words and being like, stop now. And he's like, wait, guys, I just want to finish. I don't want to start over again.
I didn't get to the double silly humpy yet.
What was happening this week? I don't even understand. It's everybody's always goofy. But this was like next level silliness, Jess.
Doesn't this air in the family hour, Dan?
I don't know what you mean. I mean, everything was, I think it does, but, you know, everything was totally above board. I mean, I mean, all I was thinking about was a booby. I don't know. Just everything to the fullest right now.
You know, there's a recurring character on the Canadian show Letterkenny that is kind of what this week was, where it's like everything is very pure and wholesome, except that everything that comes out of this guy's mouth is actually could be taken in an entirely different way. I feel like maybe we're doing a little bit of that on Amazing Race Canada this week. And maybe that's just like, this is just a very Canadian way to be.
I think this is like the Letterkenny season. I mean, because again, this week, Brendan O'Connor just totally playing up the hockey references and everything. And now I can only see them as the two guys from Letterkenny. And then even just the small town kind of Fernie fanatics. And I don't know, we're really going full on into Canadian fun. That's what I will say.
I mean, so many classic Canadian things in here. I think maybe Amazing Race Canada lore enthusiasts will appreciate the sheer keep fit and have fun of the roadblock. If we recall, they should have just, if Hal and Joanne weren't so salty at Amazing Race Canada, wouldn't they have been perfect to be at this challenge?
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering, because, you know, we had a question that was asking about Canadians have a soft spot for 80s kitsch. That was Mama's Pinky Toe on Twitter. And I think so. And I did think, and I am not the expert on Body Break. Even, I mean, obviously you saw the season, but it feels like I can picture them doing this routine, especially in the 1980s.
I definitely could picture them doing this routine. I could picture them doing this routine now.
Which would be fun. That's the thing. It's like, because, you know, we had on the U.S., we've had those where, like, you have Kevin and Drew giving out a hot dog or Clue or whatever. You have random Ernie and Cindy at Wrigley Field where no one really recognized them. You know, we could totally do this, but people would recognize them. You know, it'd be different. They would recognize them. And some teams would probably just think they were just the Body Break people and not realize they were on the show. But regardless, I think it would have been just brilliant to do that.
It would have been pretty brilliant. I don't know that Body Break's relationship with the Amazing Race Canada is a necessarily overall positive one, given the way they exited the race.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that they were itching to reappear, even though it's been a while. It wasn't so good.
No, not so much. But it did make me think back to those days. I really want to rewatch season one of these days, just because I feel like that double leg in Regina in the punishing heat might be one of the all-time greatest episodes of any Amazing Race ever.
Yeah, it's a little different than what we saw this week, actually. It's like, was that the same show we're watching now? Oh, John Montgomery's on it. Okay, yeah, it's the same show. But yeah, that was brutal. This week was the second part of a long leg. They did have to keep racing, but I did not exceed the killer fatigue. I feel like the show, especially given that they also had an overnight, but, you know, got to book their hotel and everything, the show wasn't really trying to put them through the ringer this early, even though it was two legs. This leg felt, pretty breezy overall in terms of like the difficulty or even just in terms of the fatigue they had, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even try to hide the fact that everybody got to sleep in a hotel of their choosing, which I feel like that's maybe an underreported element of this double leg. And I understand they did it for the sake of like product placement, and maybe they didn't actually get to go stay where they were pretending to choose on the app. But let's take it at face value, Dan. It's like, I get to go in and I get to choose my amenities. I get to consider like pillow softness over like darkness level in the room. I might as well be running the hometown Chamber of Commerce race at this point, because I'm going to be super rested at that point.
Well, the app is so easy, Jess, though. It's just so easy to use.
It's very easy to use. And I think it's hilarious that we got Expedia on Amazing Race Canada when Travelocity has long been the Amazing Race US. But, you know, we're not strangers to that because Chevy was the sponsor in Canada and Ford was the sponsor in the US.
Yeah, and Chevy is everywhere. As you know, multiple Chevys appearing, you know, just so many, especially if you happen to watch it in Canada or in Canada, in quotes. Wow, Chevy. John Montgomery just loves driving the Chevy around the mountains. That's all I will say. It's a common thing. But yeah, they're giving out great trips, Expedia. This is like the best advertising I've ever seen. I mean, they're going to Peru. They're going to Bangkok. They're booking hotels. I think maybe there were some limits on what they could book or which hotels, though, because does the show really want to have like nine teams at different hotels all over the place? I think there might have been, okay, you can pick from these three or something. I don't know.
They were probably at least given a budget because I can't imagine they're allowed to go choose like the Four Seasons and get the presidential suite. I don't know if there is such a thing, or I guess the prime ministerial suite. Is that what they call that in Canada?
Possibly. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I want whatever Justin Trudeau gets.
Yeah. The really, whatever is the like biggest, most expensive one, the one where I'm like, that looks like overkill. That's the one that they probably wanted. But yeah, I'm guessing they were pretty okay. You can spend this much. And yeah, we kind of want to be within a few miles of where we're going. A little different. You know, I know the show, we've seen plenty, The Amazing Race in general, like you kind of inferred. They typically, especially as later seasons have gone on, I'm not just talking about COVID, but they typically do allow, they stay at hotels. Usually the teams are all put up in a certain one. It seems like a lot of times, not always. Sometimes they sleep, they rough it. But this does, like you said, kind of illuminate something that generally the show, unless they're like booking their own hotels, doesn't tend to show that much.
Right. And I think they have always spent the majority of legs sleeping in hotels, unless they show them not doing that. Like if they say, here you are at the pit stop, here is your tent for the night. Or if they show them, like, I think maybe two seasons ago on Amazing Race US, they were in Berlin and they stayed in that weird hostel where everything was a camping trailer. Unless there's something remarkable about the accommodations, you have to assume they're in like a budget hotel situation. Yeah. So I guess it's not that remarkable. What is remarkable is that they built in a restful night's sleep into the middle of this leg.
And then at the end of the pit stop, John's like, wow, this was a really tough leg, guys. And everybody's just like, yeah, it was pretty tough. We rode in a really nice chartered bus, which I know some of that has to do with probably wanting to keep the teams away from as many people given the situation. But also we stayed in a hotel and then we went to a town where all the tasks we did were within like a kilometer of each other. So again, not trying to be critical. It's just, I don't know if I wanted teams dropping like flies here in leg three, but it's just interesting how they set it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, should we go up to the top and talk about the wieners? Cause I would really like to talk about wieners.
Sure. Let's do it because, you know, teams drive themselves to Waterton Village and Pat's. And Beverly, of course, really loves little villages she talked about. So that's exciting. But so then they had to pedal on Surrey bikes, which actually seemed kind of hard based on what people were doing, to Wieners of Waterton, memorize in quotes for orders and for deliveries. And really, Jess, this is just an excuse for everybody, like you said, to talk about I hate to say it, big weenies. That's what they were talking about.
I mean, who doesn't love a big weenie?
I mean, they were trying, you know, certain teams were real. I mean, of course, Brendan and Connor were going full on team giver, you know, or whichever, to 200% and got the episode title and just were taking over, just chewing up scenery. And others were getting in on the act too. You know, but Catherine and Craig were seeming to enjoy that too. And I don't know, it's hard not to when the task involves you. Once you realize that instead of memorizing, as Marika wisely figured out, you can stand at the board and just yell to your partner what it's going to be. Everyone just yelling the orders. I mean, how could it not be ridiculous?
What I don't understand, Dan, is did the show know that people were going to do that? Because sometimes you do have a challenge where they intend you to do it one way and then everybody just breaks it. But is this one of those things where it's like they want you to think about it for half a second and do it the smart way? Or did they anticipate that everybody was going to be memorizing it?
I don't know. Well, John in the intro did say teams will have to memorize them and deliver. And I thought, wow, that might actually be hard. But it's also kind of like when they had to memorize the three numbers last week. It's like, I don't think that was intended to be the challenge. It was mainly just kind of your standard go to a town and deliver stuff, which all Amazing Races enjoy, especially Amazing Race Canada. But I would think if they didn't want them to do it, they wouldn't have put the board right outside where the person at the door could hear it. I mean, maybe somebody just didn't understand or realize it, but they test these things. You think someone would go, why could, they're like 5 feet away. Why would, you know, why did they just tell them? That does seem to be something they would consider. And if they didn't want it, I guess they could have made a rule. I mean, we wouldn't have seen that probably.
Yeah, they do tend to make a rule if they don't want you to do something. Like, as I think we'll get into when we start talking about our feedback, especially as we talk about some of our feedback from the last episode, it just feels to me like an oversight. Like, they clearly say memorize, and then people don't memorize. It's like, maybe just don't say memorize. Like, maybe somebody forgot to tell, maybe somebody didn't memorize that they were supposed to tell John Montgomery not to say memorize.
Yeah, they wrote the script and then they filmed it and then they didn't change it to just teams must read the orders. And then, but I guess what it did is it allowed them to spotlight that some teams, you know, won, you know, like I said, Marika figured it out, but also then one of the ongoing stories, which I don't love, Jess. I really don't. We're going to do something to get the express pass, which thankfully will end next week. It must end next week, please. Where, you know, we had that. We had Fernella trying to hold the map hostage. And then, you know, Brendan O'Connor kind of getting their backs up and then them just caving. And then, you know, which I don't think they're getting the express pass based on that. I don't know. We had a lot, and I think that was part of it, is maybe the fact that they helped or other teams helped. It showed teams kind of angling for whatever's going to happen next week because they have to give them away.
I don't have a lot of notes that I took during this episode, Dan, but one thing I do have in all caps, I have, just give away the express passes already, you douches. That's
yes.
What I have in my notes. And the thing, the part I found really grating was Fernella having the map and saying, so can we get something back for this? And they just flat out say no. And yes, that's their prerogative. But I just hate it when they make such a meal out of this. Like, who do we give it to? It's so transparent. Like, there's a certain amount of that you are allowed to have as people holding the express passes. But I think the bigger a deal you make out of it, like the less, you know, the less fun it is.
Well, yeah. And some teams will just be like, yeah, whatever. We don't need it. Even try. You've seen that plenty of times. But I just find that teams that have, there are so few times an Amazing Race can, in general, unless it's with a U-turn, but, you know, where you have some sort of power over another team. And I think teams with the express pass overstate in their heads the power they have. They're like, oh, wow, I'm going to get some great quid pro quo from someone who's going to save our race or help us, and then we'll give it to them. We've seen examples like that where I'm thinking back to Tim and Marie having it.
Yeah.
And Nicole really like, but even then it was like, we don't know where to go. And I think you could send us that way. But in general, it's like teams should do what you brought up previously, which is get rid of them, let them get burned. Because somebody may have, I don't know about this week, but with the goats or who knows, there might've been some point, especially last week or even this week, let's say you gave it to Cassie and Jameek and they got to the workout and they were like, oh, we're just going to go right past Dennis and Darrell, you know, or something. And then it's gone. Great. So instead though, the thing that gets me is Brendan O'Connor saying, being annoyed, people are at, like trying to do things for the express pass. And it's like, well, if you don't want them to do that, there is a way you can stop this. You can give away the express passes. That's all you have to do. And I understand they're trying to get something out of it, But then they said, well, we've been helping everyone the whole time. Okay, that's great. But I don't know. It's not like Fresnella were really mean. They just tried to kind of do the typical training you do. And the guys, it was like when you're like trying to buy a car or something and the dealer says, whatever, you know, $20,000. I know that's way too low for some new cars. And then you say 10 and they say 20. It's like, well, you're not really negotiating or anything. That's kind of what they were doing.
Yeah. And at that point, it's like, why are you even having the conversation? Like, don't accept help if you're not actually going to even entertain the thought. And honestly, like, especially this week, Dan, if they'd given away those express passes at the top of this leg, those express passes would all be gone at this point because everybody had trouble at certain points. And I think they would have gotten spooked. And especially, I think you could even give it to Beverly and Veronica, probably would have burned it off at the bikes. Cassie and Jameek would have burned it off at the bikes. I think there's so many points where they would have started to feel a little bit of that tension. They would have given away the express pass and burned it off immediately. Especially at the second half of an allegedly grueling leg where they are more tired than they have been up to this point, which I don't know if that is objectively tired yet, but I think there's this. It's not just maximize the number of chances to burn it off, which, you know, I've said before is the most important thing you got to consider when you're giving those away. It's just like, as soon as you give them away, you are setting the table that the first hard task, at least one of those is going to go away. Or you could even, I know there's also some wisdom to maybe they're waiting around till somebody is having trouble and then they are assured that the pass is going to get burned off immediately. But if they're so far out in front, they're not going to see those opportunities. Like I'm thinking of season 24, especially where you had Jet and Cord had the express pass and they gave it to the country singers while they were in the middle of struggling with a task. They're just like, oh, here you go. And then they burned it off immediately. Like that's maybe the perfect scenario. But at this point, you can't wait for the perfect scenario. You just got to hope that one of the tasks you're about to see is hard enough that somebody's going to get spooked into giving it up.
Right. Because in that case, I think it was Jen of Jen and Caroline was like building a car or something. I had no idea what she was doing at all. And so that was perfect. We're here. Yeah. If I'm a team and there's 9 teams left and I bet you 1 through 9 in this leg, no more than a half hour between the 9 teams or something like that, because all the things were really close together. And that's so in a sense, almost anyone, like you said, and almost everyone had issues with the bikes. You know, even teams that said they were like had BMX bikes or were really experts, you know, or, you know, Beverly, whose boyfriend apparently really wanted her to learn how to be one with the bike. And so she had gone through all of that, you know, a lot of the things they were doing, but still, yeah, if there's no way, and there's 9 teams, all Brendan and Connor have to think is we just got to beat a team or two. If they felt confident now, it's a little different if you give it to them at the end of the fourth leg and maybe somebody holds it to leg 6 and then there's whatever, 6 teams or, you know, whatever, then you're in a little different situation. So I don't know. I don't want to belabor the point, but I hope they hand them out really quickly next week and they're not an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe they're thinking that the longer they hold on to them, like the more likely they'll get something good in return. But, you know, my dudes, you've gotten a lot of good things in return already. At this point, you need to stop trying to use it as collateral and just get it out of your hands so it doesn't come back to bite.
Correct. All right. Well, we have, you know, gone through and everyone is. Do we have anything more to talk about? I think we've covered the delivering. You know, it's fine. They deliver stuff. They did make them do the Surrey bikes, which made it a little more interesting than them walking.
I have a question about the Surrey bikes, Dan. If only one of the steering wheels works, if only one person can be, like, quote unquote, driving the Surrey bike, why are there 2 steering wheels?
I wonder if it's like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride when I was a kid, where they had the steering wheels and they didn't do anything. And I still like turn the whole thing like I'm driving or whatever, or even a little less like Disney's like Autopia, where it does turn and you just crash into the sides all the time. But notwithstanding all of that, I actually wondered, like at first, my daughter asked me about that. And we thought, well, maybe one of them does like the front wheel and one is the back and that's different. But no, Catherine pointed out that her steering wheel did nothing.
Yeah.
So we discovered the right steering wheel did nothing. The only thing I think of is like it's a fun thing for kids. I don't know what other reason you can have for
the Maggie Simpson of it all.
Yeah, like the kid gets to feel like they're doing something, but maybe there's like front and back seats. Are the kids going to be in the front? I guess so, if they know there's a steering wheel that they can drive. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, sorely disappointed with the lack of fringe on top, if you're going to have a Surrey.
Yes, very disappointing that that was not brought up. And I don't understand why some teams, you know, Fernella talked about that they love spin classes, which was the least shocking thing I've ever heard. But they seem to do okay. Some teams, wow, I don't know if some teams got the heavier bikes, but they were huffing and puffing, some of the teams doing this.
Maybe they didn't adjust the gears correctly, because there were a couple of points where, like, I think it was Marika that said that Jessie was pedaling so hard it was like she couldn't even get the pedals to do anything. Like maybe they were just in a low gear.
Yeah, it's like a bike where you have to switch the gear going up a hill or not.
Yeah.
Oh, and I also mentioned Fernella driving off the road.
I was about to say, yeah, Fernella going off-roading was pretty sweet as well.
And arriving at the place. It was perfect.
Yeah.
This is what I want the teams to do. Just why use the roads? And there was like no one on the roads. So this is my kind of place here. So
this sets the tone. This is a very good Fernella tone that I like, where they just sort of like they're much more competent racers than we initially might have given them credit for. They have great attitudes. They're very, very funny. And then they just stumble backwards into the thing they're supposed to be doing. Like that's it's very Lucy and Amelia.
Yeah, I like that. I know they only finished seventh this week because of the bikes and they were having issues with that one tire. But they weren't in like serious danger, at least from what I could tell. I mean, still, that's two from the end, but they were fun. All right. Well, shall we drive? Well, first, we talked about booking the hotels. Very nice, everyone. Then the buses are 15 minutes apart, which, as we would learn, would mean basically nothing because you had to sign up for two sign-up boards at the Guru Energy Board, of course.
You know, they still haven't shown anybody drinking this stuff.
Oh, I think Allie drank it in episode one. I saw it. She said, "This is good." And that was all they showed.
It's Canadian Biostraff. I'm telling you.
I don't know. Allie, I think, very positive person. So yeah. I don't know if I trust their judgment. And they're great, too. I love their attitude. And this time was totally that way. So teams went to Fernie, British Columbia, for the detour. Learn to fly or ready to roll. We've already addressed a little bit of Learn to Fly, which was the listen to the fish story by John's good buddy, Scott.
Everybody is John's good buddy.
Which the trick here was the 1 kilometer sprint to do it. And then Ready to Roll, which was assembling the bike, which, again, something we've seen many, many times that also I would be very bad at. So I would have done Learn to Fly even with the running.
You know, it's really funny. Scott St. Pierre tweeted at us. He said, "No mention of skiing/snowboarding in Fernie. I guess it was the time of year. Ready to roll over Learn to Fly. Definitely." Like, this is why maybe Scott St. Pierre is the best person to be a partner with, because I could not disagree with him more.
I don't want any part of putting together a bike.
Like, no, when they thank put, you, sir.
Yeah, motorcycles, bikes, whenever they're building something like that, IKEA, I don't care. I'm like, nope, what's the other one? I don't care if it's memorizing, we'll run a lot. I'm not getting stuck building a bike. It doesn't sound fun either. It's like, well, not a fun task.
And it's not even, I don't even mind the idea of building something. It's just the fact that they don't tell you like what order anything goes in. It's just like, here's one that's already put together and here's a big box of parts. And now you have to make one of those. Like that is daunting to me. And they did it. I think the most impossible one ever, I think, was Amazing Race US season 9, I want to say, where they just like rock up to this garage and they're like, please put together this entire ass motorcycle. And nobody did it.
Everybody's like, nope, we're good. We're good. But the weird thing is actually a lot of people ended up doing the bikes or choosing the bikes. We only had, and really the interesting thing I thought about Learn to Fly, which is teams a group of teams, all very likable, all very sensible racers, realized, you know, we're here pretty quickly. There's three teams. If we all do this together, we're going to probably get out of here in front of everyone. And those teams, Jesse and Marika, it's a through line with smart racing from those two, Catherine and Craig, Court and Ally, ended up coming out of the detour 2, 3, and 4, only because Brendan and Connor are pretty good at putting together a bike. But I felt like working with a group and the way they did it, it was faster. Unless you were really good at the bike, your chances were much better.
Yeah. And it basically came down to, have you ever put together a bike before? And if the answer is yes, if the answer is you're a bike guy, you're probably okay with this. And if you're not, then you're going to be there a while.
And even so, Cedric said he had put together, he's a mechanic, one, and has had three BMX bikes. Still took him a little while. He was not ahead of that group that I just mentioned. I mean, they weren't last, and they arrived a little later, but I think they came to the roadblock 6. So it wasn't like they were totally just killing it. Veronica and Beverly are pretty good, but they got stuck on one thing thanks to the nice red color that showed up. But the teams don't know what's wrong. So then the teams go and fix something else, and that's the other kind of
they unfix something,
issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just goes on and on. But I mean, it ended up, the big thing to discuss is Cassie and Jameek, who switched. They came in already, and I think they were last or near it when they got there. And they switch, which that's what caused me to look up, well, maybe they got burned here because the places were far away. No. The places were, according to Google Maps, a 3-minute drive, 1.1, I believe, kilometers away, the two places of the detour. So while it took a little time, obviously you go to another place, you have to do it. But and I do think that may have cost them, but I don't feel like it was a terrible idea given how close it was.
So, Dan, are you saying that the distance between the two detour options was the same as the distance between one half of the fly one and the other half of the fly one?
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even think about that. I don't know which way they had to run, though.
So if you go in the other direction, you know you've gone the wrong way if you hit the other half of the detour.
Yeah, I think it's probably the other way. But because it's weird, because I assume, just judging by like the location and the way the fly fishing place looked, it looked like it might have been a little further outside of town. Not that I'm an expert on Fernie, obviously, but it did seem like it wouldn't be that close. And it was. And the roadblock also very close, too. So everything was kind of in like a big triangle, not exactly, but around the area. So switching probably made more sense because, you know, I don't know if they knew that, but it probably told them they could figure out how far away it was. But I do think, though, that little bit of time was enough to put Cassie and Jameek where they didn't seem to do too badly on the fly fishing. But I don't know, if you're switching and then you have to memorize all that and you're already last, I don't know how you make up time there, though.
Yeah. And they were the only ones who switched. And it felt like, to your earlier point, Dan, there was no room for error on this race. It was like, you screw up once, there's half an hour between all of the teams. You're not going to be able to make that time up.
Well, some of the teams like Dennis and Durrell didn't really make any mistakes. They were pretty good at the bikes. Dennis was pretty good at the workout, and they finished second last. So that just tells you they were on the second bus, but that was only 15 minutes. That you had to really be, and this is where we talked about the express pass. You get to the workout and other teams are there and you think this is probably our last challenge. You're going to use it because you're nervous and you're just the close teams. I'll be curious. I'll try to watch if they put up the departure times next week to see how close they were. But this, even though the teams, they might have spread out a little bit trying to find hole number 4 at the golf course. But up to that point, I think it was very close.
Yeah, I agree. I want to point out we're not done with out of context, inappropriate things being said this episode, because we also had the killer quote, "You have to take your nut system off until the thing goes through."
that was a Brendan Cotter, I think. And Beverly and Veronica right away were like, okay, great guys. That's excellent.
Yeah, the bike shop guy was also an unsung hero of the episode. The way that he couldn't keep a straight face when he was delivering the news that people had not passed the task. Yeah. I thought you never see the judges editorializing quite like that.
Yeah, he'd say sorry while kind of laughing, knowing what was wrong, likely. And but, you know, again, I always like the judges, and as we get to the roadblock in a minute. But but, you know, I was just laughing, too, because I just looked at my notes and I saw in like big stars. Double silly humpy and hot spot 20 insurance. I'm like, this is what we do. This is what we're podcasting about right now with me putting stars on it. But so, yes, we get to the roadblock. Brendan and Connor got to the roadblock first and followed by the group I mentioned all basically together. And then Beverly and Veronica and all the teams were pretty close. There was kind of a sort of a grouping of the teams. We get to who's ready to take it to the streets. Yes. Are you ready?
Well, Dan, before I take it to the streets, I want to take a minute here, and we're going to take it to the ads, and we're going to be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you like how I did that? I'm back. We're back
that
now.
Was great.
Welcome back.
Like, where is this going? Oh, yes. Great
yeah,
job.
That was, you know, I segued like I was, you know, on one of those little wheelie contraptions.
Yeah, that was wonderful. And, you know, it's just, it's got me in the right mood. I would just list before we started, I flipped on just so I would remember the do, 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 do. I was trying to do the routine and my daughter looked at me like I was nuts a few minutes ago, a little bit before this, but that's normal. But yes, the team member who chose had to lead an 80s style aerobics routine for, John said, for the entire town to watch, which that was not the entire town there, but I enjoyed John's assumption of the Fernie fanatics, as he called them, who were pretty into it, you know, but Marlene, the judge, and others who later judged, as we saw, were really ready to show the racers, especially one wonderful racer, what they could do.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun to watch. It really felt like maybe this is something that happens all the time in Fernie, and hey, I'm not judging if that's the case. Like, every afternoon, does everybody just gather in the town square to do an 80s workout? Like, who came up with this, and was it based on any actual thing that happens in town? I don't know if it's weirder if they made it up whole cloth or if it's based on something that actually happens and Marlene is like some kind of cult figure in the town.
Yeah, I wish it was that way. Like, it was even a monthly thing because, you know, Marlene, oh, full on. And even you had the guy with the wonderful wig. I think it was a wig who was just,
wig.
And I think the teams tried a lot, though, because you saw they had to keep swapping out the workout people because I think they got tired because the people were just like, you know, you have like Jameek later, like, I'm going to do it without music. And everybody's like, all right, man, that's fine. This is, you know, but there was just we have to talk about Craig here, though.
Yes.
And his history. This was totally a five hole candidate, which I mean, I knew that was not going to happen, judging by no one has ever been so excited about a task. In my opinion, possibly in the history of the show, except for maybe if somebody wanted to like eat something or really love skydiving. But man, Craig's history doing, they even showed the video Workouts a Drag, which, just wonderful there. And has anyone ever been more tailor-made for a task than this?
Yeah, Dan, this would be like if you walked up to a roadblock and they said, okay, Dan, you have to ride this roller coaster and then tell us about the history of the Imagineers who put it together.
Yeah, well, they did have an Amazing Race 9 where they rolled the roller coasters in Japan, but then all they did was like read some words and it was really easy and I was very disappointed. Or they had the teacup one, but not to get too sidetracked, but yes, there's lots of things, you know, like when they did the swimming one where they just had to like swim like 8 laps and I was like,
yeah,
I do that every week, you know, not to oversell it. Or the ping pong one, there are a few things I could do okay, but none of those are on par with Craig. And he did try it twice, but man, I mean, that guy could lead an 80s workout, and he has led workouts for many years, and also just so much fun. Like, there was no like, oh, I'm going to kill this because I'm awesome. This was just full on enthusiasm. Like I can't believe they're doing this, and this is the greatest thing I've ever done.
I love it when it's not just, I have to do this, but I get to do this. Like the unbridled enthusiasm for the actual task in front of you on The Amazing Race it's contagious. Like when you see someone get that excited about doing something, it makes you want to watch them do it. And, you know, true to form, he killed it and he had a great time doing it. They almost felt like, you know, he did have to do it twice, but it almost felt like he just did it twice because he wanted to do it twice.
He's like, he almost stopped himself the first time. He's like, yeah, I got to go back and learn more. And it's like, man,
but, I need to do this justice.
So that's the thing where you could technically say this was a 5-hole kind of possibility. You know, and I guess you could say that the hockey task that led to the 5-hole was also tailor-made for a team. But this one, I mean, yeah, like I said, the big difference here between any of them, because I think, again, Megan and Natalie were a little nervous that they were going to not do it well, being Olympians and stuff. This was one where, I mean, we already saw him in episode 1 doing that crazy, like lifting his leg up and the team being like, what is going on over here? And then he had to do the hike. No one else did high kicks either. I mean, he's like, okay, high kicks. And the people with him are like, oh man, what is happening here? This guy is like killing it. But, you know, and it led them to first place where they've kind of been hanging out 4-5-6, 4-5-6, wherever, never in danger, but kind of in the middle. And they get that. And I'm glad that they chose him because, man, you know, she would have done fine. But geez, talk about a roadblock that is going to just lift you up and get you a $2,000 gift card to Marshalls, which he loves. That's great.
He loves everything. Like, I feel like Craig is maybe it's between Frenella as a team and like Craig as an individual for who is the breakout star of the season so far, because his positivity is just like, he's so excited about everything. He's like a golden retriever puppy. And Marshalls, I love Marshalls. Workouts, I love workouts. It's great. I hope he never leaves our screen.
Yeah. And they were like, you keep racing. And he's just like, can I get some coffee and just kind of, you know, get going? Yeah, but that's the thing, you know, and it says a lot too, because there are a lot of teams that I enjoy this season that have brought more. Even, I mean, Jesse getting to do the workout. I mean, Marika would have been much better, but he's a trooper. The guy just hung in there. He's like, and they're like, yeah, you've got to lead a little bit and show a little more energy. But I appreciate that because it's like you're getting like a task like this. I mean, not particularly hard. And again, you've got to have a certain mindset watching this show to think like, this is silly. What I enjoyed is that the teams tended to, even when there was technical stress, like we could get eliminated, the teams were having fun, at least from what we saw in the edit. I'm sure some people might have been nervous or whatever. But seeing the teams enjoy it and like dancing, and even when the other teams are up there, I enjoy that type of Amazing Race where it's like, this is silly and goofy, and I can't believe we're doing this weird thing, but I'm going to have fun. And even for 2 minutes, maybe forget that we're on the show and we're racing and we might lose.
Yeah, I think I have issues with the like being judged on enthusiasm, because I feel like if I had to do that task, I am a person who very much wears my heart on my sleeve. I cannot fake enthusiasm. I would still be there.
Yeah.
Like they filmed this in what, April? I would still be there. Like this would have been the first John Montgomery Field elimination. And it just gives me like bad flashbacks to, you know, middle school gym where they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't give me a high grade on something, even if I did all the tasks, because it's like, you didn't look like you were having fun out there. I'm like, no, I wasn't having fun out there. It's because I wasn't. So
it's
I have
not fun.
It's not fun. So I wasn't having fun. So I do have a little bit of, you know, personal baggage around that kind of criteria, although I think it was helpful that they gave them that feedback, at least, because, you know, how many tasks do they have where they're just like, nope, wrong, do it again. And you're like, did I get a step wrong? But I did all the steps right. So that is something, at least. And yeah, I agree. Everybody did seem like they were genuinely having fun. I want to call the attention, a little bit of attention to the individual in the crowd at the fitness roadblock. Dan, I don't know if you saw this. There was a point where they like zoomed out and they gave you kind of an aerial shot of the crowd. There is a person in one of those inflatable T-Rex suits in the crowd. And I was like, what was going on here? Like, what was the thought process on that? Was it like, did someone say, oh, wow, they're looking for extras to come down and be part of this crowd, better go get my T-Rex suit? Or did the show have something to do with this? I kind of feel like it was just a local that has one of these hanging out in their closet, and they're like, this is my time to put on my T-Rex suit and get out there. And I feel like maybe we should have an inflatable T-Rex suit in every challenge.
Well, I wonder about that, you know, because like I know even like our local zoo, science center, whatever, will have these various terrible YouTube videos, but I'll subscribe like, oh, I want to follow them. And they've had multiple ones from different institutions that always have somebody wearing like that T-Rex suit. And I'm like, why is that there? It'll be like the T-Rex suit visits the science center. And I was like, this is the strangest thing. So I think there's something about that where I agree with you. I did not see that, but now I want to go back and check for it. But essentially, I think that's probably someone random, because again, too, if the show had done that or something, they're going to zoom in on that T-Rex thing.
Inflatable like T-Rex suit will give him the next clue.
Yeah, or something. You know, they didn't do that. So my guess is like, because it was the big shot, they didn't have to. Well, actually, everyone there probably had to sign a release. That's an easy task to get all the releases. That's not like chasing down the guy with the kazoo.
You won't recognize that guy's face. He doesn't need to sign a release.
He signs it like T-Rex guy.
Or maybe it was one of those things like, this T-Rex guy is really upstaging all of our shots. We have to cut around him. And like they made every effort to exclude him. Like, what kind of loser shows up in a T-Rex suit? This is just going to pull focus from the challenge. We can't show him, but there was like that one shot of the whole crowd that he made it into.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, given the vibe of this whole thing, I mean, come on. The T-Rex totally fits with the vibe of this. But yeah, maybe it was they had kicked him out and then he snuck back in or something. I don't
know. It'd be really hard to sneak in when you're wearing one of those suits. By the way, my son and I, one of our favorite YouTube video genres is flash mob T-Rex costume people. There's a whole subgenre of YouTube videos of like they get 20 people to put on those suits and like all go to Walmart or something.
I was thinking of flash mobs when I mentioned those other videos, too, because it's like, the T-Rex thing just totally fits with that whole vibe. I don't know. We had several success montages that happened. One, that's the thing. When you have like this goofy thing with the music playing and then you see people keep getting it right, I'm like, wow, everyone's killing it. Even though it's like fourth try, fifth try, you know? Yeah. Allie was on her third try. We didn't even see Allie. She had this like awesome costume on. All of a sudden she's up there and I'm like, at one point I went, what happened to Allie? She went in to get changed, didn't come back, because I guess they just didn't have time to show her first two tries. But yeah, I mean, I did hear Cedric, though, was glad he wasn't doing it, because he told me, he told us he was afraid of dancing. And Deshaun looked pretty bad in his, and you know, very tight outfit, but ended up doing it well. But I don't know. Beyond that, I think it was fun. Most of the teams kind of arrived and left fairly similar beyond Catherine and Craig to where they went in. And I don't know anything else before we get to the end here.
I don't think so. I think you're right, Dan, that nobody had like insane amounts of trouble with it. Like you didn't see, like the show would have said, you know, ninth try, 12th try. I don't think anybody had to do it more than three or four times.
Yeah. And they didn't even really try to make it seem like that Jameek was going to pass Dennis. I mean, he did go up there and they were both on the same screen. So they were, I think Franella might have been there when Jameek arrived, but I know Dennis and Darrell were, but I think it was one where you were going to, unless you were like someone who created workout videos, you were probably going to need 2 to 3 tries to really figure it out. I mean, even Veronica had plenty of energy, speaking of energy, and still got made to do it again because they said she didn't have enough. So I think there was something where unless you killed it, you were probably going to do 3 tries, which meant Cassie and Jameek were in trouble for really, I mean, they arrived a little late and spent, we don't know how long they spent on the bike, but really just one mistake. And then here's a few weird things. We're going to talk about this in a minute, but the show spent so much time trying to sell it was a non-elimination. And they like had people say maybe eliminated. And then they had people talk about non-elimination. And then they said, well, they don't want their race to end. And I was like, what is happening right now? Because it was a keep on racing. And Dennis was the one who was just like, no,
yes,
it's an elimination. What are you talking about, Darrell? This is it. But then I was sitting there going, what's going on here? And then I was like, but they're not, I told myself, I'm like, unless they're trying to just like keep as many teams around as possible, they're not going to do 2 non-eliminations in a row. But I was confused because the editing seemed to want to tell me they were, and then they didn't. It was a very, and even Cassie Jameek's exit was very strange.
Yeah, there was something not quite right about it. It had that whole vibe of like, here's a deep pull, Dan. We're going back like 20 years at this point. Survivor Pearl Islands, when they snuff Lil's torch the first time and it comes back up and it won't go out. That's what the vibe was. It felt like,
I think we should.
Yeah. It felt like whoever was, it felt like nobody really thought anybody was going home.
So this leads me to what I think was the big WTF moment, which we get to the preview for next week. So Cassie and Jameek get eliminated. They were shocked. They had waited 2 years to have babies. This is their quotes. I'm not, you know, and we're kind of disappointed it didn't last longer. But then we watch the preview. They show, you know, teams on rapids, teams not, spikes, all kinds of things. And then John says this phrase, an eliminated team gets a second chance to race again. And we see a picture of, well, Julie saying hallelujah because of course, and Kathy, but John doesn't say Julie and Kathy get a chance to race again. He says an eliminated team gets the chance to race again. But I'm curious, before I give what I don't really know what's going to happen, I have no background, but what might happen or what something they're doing, what do you think, what did you think about when you saw them and thought they were someone's coming back?
Well, there's 2 things I thought of, Dan, like right out of the gate. I thought about the 4th season of Amazing Race Australia, where there was a team that walked in the first, like at the end of the second leg, and they brought another team back to replace them because they had a certain number of spots. And then the other thing I thought of was this past season of Amazing Race US, where they had to shut everything down due to COVID, and then they came back and not everybody could come back. And I'm not saying that Amazing Race Canada had to shut down because of COVID, but what if somebody tested positive in the middle of the race? And what if one of these teams drops out and for some unforeseen circumstance, and so they decide to bring back a previously eliminated team to take their place?
That was my first thought, too. And it happened in Australia this past season where a team quit and after leg one. And
that's
so then they
what
brought,
I'm thinking of.
Yeah. And I mean, they brought back the cousins who yes. were very fun. And they came back in. And also, I mean, notwithstanding the stowaways and all the weird things, weird things they did last season. But that part. But yeah. So my thought is there's 2. Yeah. It could be that someone dropped out and they're bringing someone back. It could be some weird twist where the show is saying we're going to bring a team back. But with the way that John said an eliminated team, and then they showed Julie and Kathy, but it could be that could be a fake out. because they could say, okay, Kathy and Jameik, who just had a very weird exit, slash, or Kathy and Julie can come back. You two have to compete. One of you gets to come back and one of you doesn't. Now, granted, I may be overthinking this and that may be too complicated and I may be reading into it, but they could do something like that. And it could be one, to replace a team that got that left, or two, some sort of weird outcast like twist where the Amazing Race Canada, who has never done anything like this ever, says, we're going to do something fun, in quotes, and bring back one team, and then they eliminate someone instead of doing maybe a future non-elimination or something.
Yeah, that seems like the most possible thing. And it's nice that they're showing it, unlike, you know, Amazing Race US this past time that had this whole thing with like people inside of giant cabbages that ended up dictating who went home when they brought people back. And then they just decided not to air it. So Amazing Race Canada at least will do us the honor of showing us what happened.
Yeah,
but
it could.
It could be that. I think it makes the most sense that there's going to be some kind of challenge to bring back a team if that is indeed what they're doing.
Yeah, because I don't think they would just say, well, because you went out first, Julie and Kathy, you get to come back, but Cassie and Jameik don't. I think there has to be, I don't know, it's one of those kind of, like, we got several questions about this. Melissa Mack asked about that. We also had another question that I'm not seeing. Oh, Sherry Lazarus, what/how/why did the eliminated contestants come back and rejoin the race? Production error or built-in twist? I wouldn't think production error. So that's an interesting theory too.
Oh,
that's an interesting C. Like, we said A or B. What about C? That they
messed
up. I
like that. Like, something happened with Julie and Kathy's race that it was a little hinky, and so they get a chance to come back.
Interesting. That's I don't know. That's the thing where it's one of those where I like that they showed it, because again, all of us are kind of like, what? But I don't know if they're like, I don't know if it's going to be as simple though as Julie and Kathy, you're back in. Now we're going to do the leg as normal. It seems like there has to be something else, because if they were going to do that, they might not even tell us that, or they might be more vague and just say, one of the eliminated teams that you don't know which one. Like, the fact that they showed them really throws me off.
It's really weird because, you know, the way they did it with Amazing Race US is they sort of teased it out, like, and some familiar faces will be coming back. And that, yeah, this feels like, why are they showing Julie and Kathy competing in a challenge when they got eliminated two episodes ago?
I mean, there is a D, which is Julie and Kathy, or the eliminated teams, somehow are brought in to help the other teams or do some weird, like,
like coaching.
But to me, also what we saw is like Julie crashing and then being upset. I don't know. I don't know how that would work, but that's the fourth option, which seems least likely is, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of when they've done that, where teams get to help. And
I've got one more thing that I should bring up, Dan. Just because we want to cover all the bases here. And I don't even think they do this anymore, but I know that a thing they used to do on Amazing Race US is after a certain point, like probably the final six or so, to make sure that all the teams would be there at the final mat, the last few teams continued to travel with the crew and the racers, and they would be put out to like test the legs or to be decoys. And so sometimes you would see eliminated teams like out running the course, and it would be mistaken for a sighting when that team was actually eliminated and they were just running the race to throw off the Reality Fan Forum people.
Yeah, that is another thing, because I've been surprised, you know, as you go along, like that you'll see like you could see this in Canada where it's like an article from a local town that will put pictures in there and stuff. But again, it could be pictures of decoy people.
Yeah, like the Reality Star season that got spoiled for everybody when one of the Detroit newspapers just listed all the teams that were there.
It's like, that's the team. You got to understand what this does. You
know? Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. Like that's frowned upon, dude.
So that's a lot of. That's kind of the one thing where it's like you get to like, you know, the last, it's literally the last 10 seconds, because I went back and watched it a few times And John, it's almost like it's like a cliffhanger for a show where you think one thing is going to happen, and then at the very end, something happens. You're like, what? You know, somebody just got shot at the end of Alias. What happened? Oh, that's such an old reference. I apologize. That's like, all these people are like, what? Alias? Hey, this is on Disney Plus right now.
Made so many early aughts references between all the single digit seasons of the U.S. Amazing Race and Survivor. You know, we're just gonna steer into the skid, everybody. We're old.
I was actually thinking of a specific moment when Bradley Cooper's character gets shot. And I'm like, what? And it's like, Bradley Cooper. Yes, before anything. It's like, yeah, that's the moment I'm thinking of. Okay, so should we do questions that we have not talked about?
We should do questions, Dan. We should do questions right after we take another break for a word from our sponsor.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. Let's do some questions.
Okay. Well, we've already addressed several. I did want to mention, I didn't catch it, but Sherry Lazarus mentioned that John did say rip and read at one point, which I did not notice. Or so, she wrote, we got a rip and read, which I didn't hear.
I didn't hear it either. but I trust her. I try to watch the episode two or three times before we get on to podcast, and I only got it through once. So I'm flying a little bit blind here. I love rip and read. If we did get it, I'm happy.
Well, I want to mention Kate Ann on Facebook pointed me to something. It was so funny. Tashawn, there is a moment, and I saved this for the where Tashawn and Cedric drive by, and Cedric's like, "Oh, look at all the reindeer," and Tashawn's like, "Reindeer aren't real." And so then there's a YouTube clip, which is easy to find. I think it's called Reindeer Games, if I remember correctly. The YouTube clip is which Kate Ann pointed out, which is like from Big Brother Canada. Yeah, Reindeer Games. You can find that at Big Brother Canada, which is like a minute clip of Tashawn and several other people from Big Brother Canada talking about whether reindeer are real or not. And Tashawn is not convinced. Now, I looked it up. I know whether this is true or not, but Jess, to your knowledge, are reindeer real or are they fantasy characters as people call out in this clip?
This is an insult to my intelligence, Dan. Of course they are real.
I work on Jeopardy. I don't know why I'm asking you this.
I work for a company that does tours to the Arctic. Reindeer are real.
But in North America, they are not called reindeer typically. They are called...
caribou.
Yes.
I've eaten reindeer, dude.
What are the odds that Tashawn talks about this exact same thing? Was he making a callback
for
that?
He was definitely making a callback. As I understand it, this was pointed out to us by a few people in the RHAPN Post Show Recaps Discords. People were talking about the reindeer. I saw it on Twitter a lot. This was apparently one of his more iconic moments throughout BB Can. So I think he definitely was well aware that if reindeer were going to come up in conversation, he would have to hit that mark. And he did it, by God.
I would never have known if somebody, because I have not seen Big Brother Canada, but I did enjoy that clip very much. So what else should we talk about here?
Let's see. We should talk about, I think we've been through almost all of these. I think we do have a lot of corrections and miscellaneous feedback that we got for episode two after we finished recording. And I think it's good to step back and do that. Up top, I want to make a correction. I referred to the indigenous tribe that we saw last week, or as the Blackfeet. They are known in Canada as the Blackfoot Nation. So going forward, we'll do that. And Dan, this raises an interesting point, actually. We have seen First Nations people greeting at the mat all three times, I believe. Am I wrong about that?
No, it's right. I noted it this time, too, that I think it's something they're going to do all season.
Memory task?
It could be. It could be interesting. I mean, I think like we talked about, I think they're doing a good job of trying to spot the people from each land, like, you know, whether it's First Nations or other groups, you know.
Yes.
And so I think that's great. But it does seem to make sense that they may do that at the end. And that could be a challenge. I assume you have some teams that are probably paying very close attention.
I mean, you would have to. And it's one of those things where you know they've done it so many times, you're going to have to be watching that greeter like a hawk. But I do like that they have made kind of a land acknowledgement, maybe not a formal one as such, but noting like which people they are representing, I think is really, it's interesting for sure. And I hope they do bring something back from it at the end of the season. But anyway, I wanted to make sure I made that correction there. And then we also, we heard from Kelly Snow on Twitter regarding the local produce / Subway sandwich task last week. She notes that lots of produce in Western Canada comes from the Red Hat Co-op. I'd bet local Subways are supplied by them. So not local farm stands, but just down the highway, which I think kind of tracks with what we thought was probably the case. The people don't drive around in the Subway mobile picking up things from local farm stands.
Yeah, totally.
If you're buying in bulk, you need to go to a supplier.
It helped with that. So another thing relating to Subway, which I'll jump to, is Greg Dunlop asking the question about, which I hadn't considered, that they
I love this.
They refer to footlongs at Subway, even though Canada is on the metric system. You know, he lived in Sweden, they use centimeters, and he asked if it's standard to Canada. Now, I'm not sure, but I will say through my comprehensive Google research, including points when it seemed I was from in Canada, it told me that Subway appears to use the term footlong, at least in marketing and in their online menus. So granted, I cannot say for sure that every Subway in Canada does this, but it does seem to be that Subway believes that the footlong title is worth not following the system used by most people in Canada, by all people, basically.
I'm guessing they probably resent that a little bit. Like anytime some of our vulgar Americanness creeps up and seeps into Canada in a way that they can't excise it, I would be really annoyed by that.
Yeah, I mean, John did say last week that they won footlongs for a year. He did not say
30 centimeters for a year.
Like what?
Apparently, they are called throughout the rest of the world. They're mostly called 15 centimeter and 30 centimeter.
Interesting. So I don't know. I'm not sure it's all in Canada, but I know that, well, they did it on this show, and the show generally uses things like kilometers and everything else. So they're generally on it. And the fact that when I looked it up, it did seem to be that way. But again, I did not do a scientific analysis, so I can only say so much.
Worth noting that Subway footlongs aren't actually a foot long. Somebody got sued over this.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's fun stuff. Well, I should mention also, well, I'll let you give the next clarification here.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about during the goat task last week, we were speculating on could you just like go up to the task judge and just like start yelling numbers until you got the right one. And we got a correction from the one and only Craig Ramsey, who tweets at us. Yes, there was a 5-minute time frame between checks. My grade 5 math sucks under pressure.
That's interesting, because I wondered, I think we talked about possibly they had so many choices or they had a short time. So I think we were pretty close. But it's interesting because 5 minutes, I mean, in Amazing Race time is pretty significant, especially given that we saw teams miss multiple times. And we did hear Court and Allie say they were there several hours. And if you miss enough times, 5 minutes, 2 hours isn't that hard to get to if you miss, you know, a bunch of times and also have to chase goats.
It's true. I think at that point you really have to try to do the actual math. Like there's no guessing if you have to wait between the checks. I think you really have to do the math.
Which I think is smart.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to go. Final thing I wanted to mention that I really undershot the Sutter family of hockey with how many I mentioned last week. First of all, they played junior hockey. Evil Roy on Twitter. They played junior hockey for Lethbridge, which makes sense that, remember last week Ron Sutter was found. But in my, I just also mentioned there are six Sutter brothers, all of the same generation that all played in the NHL. All of them. Brian, Daryl, Dwayne, who I don't think of, Brett, who I do remember, Ron, and Rich.
Dang. Wow. Were they trying to make their own team here?
We're not done. Then we have second generation Sutters.
Oh, boy.
Brandon, Brett, and Brody all played in the NHL, and two others were drafted by NHL teams but have not played there. This is from Wikipedia. Lucas and Riley, two others, I should mention them. Wow, Jess. That's a family.
Dang, that's a dynasty is what that is. Amazing. No wonder they ran into a Sutter, because it seems to me like maybe you go up to Canada, you can't turn around without running into one.
There's so many of them. Then we got to talk about the grandkids, and you know, they're doing like select hockey and going around or whatever it's called. It's never ending.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the hockey farm system up there. Basically everything I know about the hockey farm system in Canada is from watching Shorzy, which is the spinoff of Letterkenny about junior hockey. So yeah, I will believe that it is overrun with Sutters, however it works.
Okay. Well, I think we have hit all the clarifications. Thanks everyone for clarifying. That's awesome. And, this was another fun week.
Yeah, another very fun week, Dan. Oh, I forgot to, one more thing I wanted to note. I was very amused by Cassie accidentally stealing part of the bike when they switched tasks. that was a fun moment. I wonder if she ever had to give that part back or if they're just keeping it as a souvenir.
She got a penalty for that. They didn't show it, but just to add insult to injury, John afterwards said, I need that bike part back now.
Yeah, unaired penalties. What is this, Amazing Race US?
Never. They would never do this in Canada. They
are
penalties.
Classy. They're classy in Canada. They show you what happens when it happens. So, Dan, I think that brings us to the part of our episode where we talk about everything else that's going on this week. What's going on with you lately?
Oh, not much. I'm still hosting the Tomorrow Society podcast. I'm doing more fun interviews. It's been great talking to people about theme parks and former Imagineers and others. It's been a blast. I recently went to Six Flags Great America in Chicago and did a trip report on that. So it's been cool. You can check that out, tomorrowsociety.com, or go to wherever you listen to podcasts. I am out there.
It's great stuff. And this is the only game in town as far as I'm concerned, but there is so much more going on out in the greater world of Rob as a podcast. Obviously, we have Big Brother going on and people are still talking about it. And sometimes when it's a joyless slog is when it's the most fun to hear the podcast. So every day you'll hear everybody talking about all the good stuff that's going on there. Plenty of other shows going on, and especially I wanted to give a shout out to the Challenge Rehab Up. So, that's back this season. We got Ali Lasher and Brian Cohen. They are talking about all of your favorite CBS stars as they cover the Challenge USA. And so in addition to their weekly recap, you can also see video exit interviews all season long. This is a really fun podcast. They are seasoned professionals, and the Challenge is really, really fun this season, especially if you are at all a fan of CBS reality. Chances are one or more of your faves are going to be on there. So you can submit questions every week and you can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challengefeed. That is robiswebsite.com/challengefeed. So check them out among all of the many other things in our Rob Has a Podcast and Rehab Ups family. And of course, we like to hear from you. So as you are watching Amazing Race Canada every week, we love to get your questions tweeted to us. You can tweet at us at Haymaker Hattie and at the Dan Heaton. And don't worry about spoiling us. You know, it's probably going to be Wednesday at the earliest before we get to see the show ourselves, but it's part of the, you know, it's part of the hazard of being Americans covering a Canadian TV show. We can be a little bit spoiled, so don't worry about it. As the questions occur to you, just tweet them at us. You can hit us up also if you are a Robus podcast patron. You may be in the RHAB Discord. We have a thread going on there, and you can put questions in there as well. And you can also rate and review us. We love that. So you can rate and review the Amazing Race feed or the Rap Ups feed or whatever tickles your fancy on the podcatcher of your choice. High ratings and good reviews help us get our message out to other people. And of course, that message is watch Amazing Race Canada and enjoy it all with us. Dan Heaton, is there anything else you want to tell the fine people before we wrap things up?
Well, I'm speaking of the Challenge USA. I raved about a certain amazing racer last week, and I am sorry for jinxing that person. That's all I will say. Unfortunately, this week is not so good.
You jinxed
not to spoil
him?
Too much. I jinxed him in the past whenever it was filmed.
As surely as if you had drafted him onto your team.
Yes. Good thing I didn't do that in Amazing Race 32. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I believe I was the one that did that.
Yes. Fun episode, fun show though. And the podcasts I've heard of some of the exit interviews have been really fun too. So that's really great.
Yeah. And our coverage is top notch. All of our coverage is great. Challenge, especially great. So I think that brings us to the end of our program. I want to thank all of you out there listening, especially anybody that's sending us feedback and questions and comments and corrections. We love all of that. It helps us make a better product, and we love the back and forth with all of you. I want to thank everybody behind the scenes. I want to thank Chelsea, Hannah, Tricky, Scott, and of course, Rob for letting us do this every week. And I guess that's everybody. Thank you, Dan. And thank you again to everybody. We'll see you next week.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.